I didn't say nothing sassy. I was just saying I didn't know that this is the route that we were taking to appease our male listeners.
Well, most of our male listeners are probably bigga bigga tigga. You know what? They can appreciate some good cleave too. So there's that.
That's the hope.
Karen Walker is an icon for a reason.
That she is. So let's get into this. How are you? I am tired.
Hey,
Brandy episode. Boom.
everybody. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Black Girl Charm. I am your exhausted. I just want my bed and some cookies. I'm about to put some cookies in the oven. Co-host Ray, joined by my co-host.
I am Toya in the wedding salon. That is who I'm gonna be this week.
So are we gonna just, you know what? I'm setting a timer right
About to say,
now.
set it to. Oh, look at us! Look at the wavelength. I was gonna say, set a timer for 5 minutes so I can get it out.
I'm giving us 5 minutes and 5 seconds. I always give myself that extra 5 second cushion because you know you have to get back after
I mean, I got all of this cushion anyway, so I understand. I understand.
Anyway, ready and go.
Go.
Yo. How you come on season 35 of Married to Medicine with these Flavor Flav ass nicknames? Like, you are a grown ass woman and you're supposed to be like a doctor's wife and this is what you're. Oh, anyway, that's not even what we're here for. How are you upset that
Look,
somebody
the
was
fact
telling
that
you that you need a
she's
girdle
upset
for
because somebody
your
told her to
wedding
put on a
date?
girdle, put on shapewear
Duh.
underneath her wedding dress, just did it for
Duh.
me.
And I was like, maybe I always want to give myself like the grace of maybe, you know what? You are a day of wedding coordinator. You understand that shapewear is a given. And you know what? You've been married before, so you know that shapewear is a
Wait, why you made
given.
it seem like I've been married multiple times? You've been married before? Like, damn. I've only been married once. Jesus.
I wanted to put that emphasis on it because, you know,
Oh, okay. Okay.
black
You gonna
women don't
plan
be
my
getting.
10-year anniversary?
What the fuck? That is coming up.
That is coming up.
Lord, I'm a whole other person, but that's that. Look, man, we have a 5 minute timer for a reason. Anyway, why would you cry and get mad and get in your feelings if somebody's telling you on your wedding day you don't need some shapewear? Like, girl, like, that's wedding 100.
I feel like we are two for two for her crying. She ain't coming back next season. At this point, you could just bring back Amila and call it a day. Anila? Amila? What was her name?
Anila.
Anila, you could just
Anila,
bring her
yeah.
back. Her husband was
Like,
quite attractive.
you're upset. I feel like what we lost in them, we get in Jessel and her husband on Roni. And I like it. I'm here for it. If that's a trade-off, give I'm here for it.
I haven't watched Real Housewives of. You made me watch that one season where she brought up Black History facts every time they got together, and I was.
No, this is like the rebrand of Roni. And it's fun, it's light, it's definitely the palate cleanser you need in between seasons. Like
Okay.
the drama is not that, like, oh my God, you stole my cell phone. Oh my God, you never have no food at your function. Like, it's nice. It's
Sure.
cute.
I don't know. I'm scarred. For that to have been the first time that I jumped into Real Housewives of New York and got hit with Black History facts every single time episodes, I was like, I get it. I get it. I get it. But
No.
it was a lot. It was a
You know how there's that meme that's like, if you are a white person and you don't like the black franchises of Real Housewives, that's how they know that you're not, you know.
Oh, I thought you were going. I was like, fuck, I'm gonna have to edit this shit.
No, it's one of the, I think like Black people have it reversed, where it's like, I don't really see it from New Jersey. I don't really care. I'm thinking about my Black girls. Those are my stories. And I feel like a lot of people just jumped in on the ass end of like that Roni, not knowing like the shenanigans of Roni already. And like the shenanigans on Roni are a, well, not now, but old Roni. They were pretty. If you are from a certain background, it would be frustrating, and I will just say that so you don't have to edit anything properly.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, other than that, I'm still trying to work through Potomac. I think I'm finally on episode 2. This whole
There's only been wine... 2 episodes.
God, it feels like so much.
Why has it been 3?
I don't care about wine. Is that the 5 minutes? Are we done?
Yes.
Good.
We got to end it on that note.
I don't care about Juan and Robin. And that's it.
Yeah. Girl. Anyway, have you been watching anything else?
I feel like I have, and I don't know what. Oh, we started watching Fear Thy Neighbor again.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching like 6 Feet Under because Netflix is buying a lot of HBO property.
I would watch 6 Feet Under if I had the brain capacity that wasn't bigger than a flea. But do you remember a couple years ago? It was like right during peak COVID, because I know we talked about it. We're the guy. This is going to sound horrible when I say this, and forgive me, but it was peak COVID. And the guy ended up killing his neighbors, like, pew, pew, and then killed himself. And we were like, oh, this is going to be a bomb-ass episode of Kill Thy Neighbor or Fear Thy Neighbor. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, because so many things have happened.
It's on Fear Thy Neighbor this season.
Oh, wow. So, in the complex where my mom lives, well, not, like, she's in one of the buildings, but not, like, in her building. The downstairs neighbor killed the upstairs neighbor and his son over a noise complaint. And I was like, that Fear Thy Neighbor episode is going to be so, it's going to be so egregious because the victim's families is Haitian. And it's just like, I don't know
if there's going to be a Fear Thy Neighbor because, ooh. Y'all fuck with the wrong family.
Given how sensationalized everything is and how quickly things end up on Fear Thy Neighbor, I don't, like, we're going to see an iteration of it. Like, we're going to get the full families, like, either family's consent because the murderer, like, died in a shootout with the cops, like, the next day or 2 days later.
What? So,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fear Thy Neighbor, I'm just glad my neighbors are quiet and nobody bothers me. Cause
you also have acreage of land, so your neighbors are also like wolves and like
you
other...
act like you cannot see the neighbor across you. Like the way you be describing my home to people, and you make it seem like it be like this is a big forest and there is my house.
Big forest? Like, on your property?
Behind my house. It is not my property. And you can see my house from the street. Why are you acting like that?
Okay, you can see my house from the street. It's also, like, you got one of those houses that, you Here got one go. Of those, like, John Taffer houses, where he be like, why you don't have no light on? You know, people can't see this if they drive it by fast. Where's your light? That's what it is. You got
so I did have lights. And my mower ran him over. So I ain't put them back up because them shit's expensive. So I am thinking of getting fairy lights for the trees that, see, you know what? You setting me up. Ooh, you setting me up. I ain't doing that.
Okay, Thistle. Nope. Okay, Thistle. Nope. Go Thistle.
I was trying to read a black novel that I got from TikTok. Mm-hmm. But you know how I feel about like college romance? And I opened it and it was like, ding dong, the principal. And I was like, the principal? This is high school. The principal. And this I looked into it and it was 12 to 17. Of course, there is no trauma because this is a child story. She, the TikToker, lied to me. If you got to do teenage novels to not give me black trauma, we have a problem.
Oh, man. And so I haven't started either of my books yet just because I'm like, I don't have the brain capacity right now.
I feel you on that.
Even if it's just like a silly, goofy, finger poppy novel, I don't have it right now. I want to, my ADD or my tisms is tizzying and my brain is like all over the place. So I just know I won't be able to quiet the voices in my head long enough to like finish a chapter.
Cosmic Kiss is good. That was the alien one that I was telling you about last week. Mm-hmm. I finished that this weekend. It was pretty good. It had a nice happy ending. Wasn't too much craziness. I was here for it. It was cute. It was quick. It was short. I've been avoiding starting Iron Flame because the reviews have been all over the place. But I think it's time. So I'm heading down that path.
I'm on like season two of 6 Feet Under, and I feel that like, now that I'm old enough to watch it, it's always had like this mystique about it, but I was never allowed to watch it because obviously when it was like 2000.
Shut up. You don't just start this episode. Shut up.
Anyway.
Every episode you gotta be like, because I was like 5 when it came out. I'm so done with you.
I'm sorry. It's just one of those shows because like so many people are on that show. And it's like, damn, I'm so happy to like see your glow up, your transition from being like a background actor or having a bit part or having one line. And now you're like Golden Globe nominated, Oscar nominated. It's like, look at you. I'm so proud of you. But anyway, we can start this episode.
Wait, we are on. Writer's strike is over.
Hmm?
The writer's strike is over.
And the actor's strike.
That's what I meant to say, the actor's strike. I like how you did that. That was smooth. Mm-hmm. The actor's strike is over. That's what I meant in my heart. You knew.
You knew. So we are on season 3, episode 10. We all scream for ice cream. The original air date is January 18th, 2001. Zach and Chris are the ones who wrote this episode. So it makes sense that you feel this way. Yeah. We have a directorial debut by Alan Croker. 82 directorial credits, the last one being Greenleaf in 2019.
Okay.
This lag.
You gotta love me a
good
Greenleaf.
This lag had me like, I'm just going to power through it. And I know once I say green leaf, it's just going to catch up somewhere. Our guest stars this week are James Reed, who finally takes over as Victor Bennett. Oh, Lord. Thank God. Because that other one, I couldn't do. He just looks so slimy and gross.
He does. So, I do like James Reed.
James has 70 credits. The last one was Bosch Legacy earlier this year. We have Paul Wittenberg as Caleb, the most annoying man on earth. 7 credits, the last one in 2016. Robert Clendenin as the ice cream man. And you've known, this man has 239 credits. The last one being Leroy in 2023. And he is one of those, he's a character actor.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, he's that guy from that thing. And it's like, you can name so many different things. We have Bobby Edner as Ari, 59 acting credits. The last one was Final Fantasy NT in 2018, and Ari is the demon child with the vest. So we can just refer to him as Vest.
Is that really? Is that the leader? Is that the leader of the little shits?
Yeah. Erica Mayer as Freckles, 18 acting credits. The last one was iCarly in 2010. And Soren Fulton as Jersey, 32 acting credits. The last one in 2014. This is the last time we'll see Emily Thompson. We saw her as Baby Prue in that 70s episode, and we saw her in season 2 with P3H2O. So sad. So sad. The music we heard this episode was Tonight and the Rest of My Life by Nina Gordon, Skin by Collective Soul, Banging Away by Christina Harris, and The Cause by 27. There's not a lot of trivia this week, so I'll just give away right now. Children of the Corn inspired this episode, as well as Who Can Kill a Child? I don't know what that is. I didn't look it up because I didn't want Google or the powers that be to come be like, using my brain. The title also refers to the 1927 song Ice Cream by Howard Johnson. Not sure if it's any relation to, you know, the Hojo. The IMDb synopsis is the sisters trace a mysterious ice cream van operator who abducts children, but the evil may not be who they initially suspect. Meanwhile, the girl's dad, Victor, comes to town for a visit. That was just very weirdly.
It's very TV Guide.
That was just so clunkily. I didn't like it.
You read it well though.
I tried. And the DVD synopsis is Phoebe and Prue battle to save innocent children from the force of the nothing, but must enlist the help of their father to do so. And you know what? I like this. Because I don't know what this is about. We saving children. The ice cream being like a nice surprise for the episode, I guess. You know. Sure. It's fun. Is there anything, any thoughts on top of your head? Anything like that?
I hated this episode.
All right. So... this episode starts in P3, and Piper is just, she's in one of like the alcoves of the club, and she's staring at a man who's staring at her, and she's just so confused, like, why is this man staring at me? And honestly, I would feel the same way. Why are you staring at me? Like, even if you didn't know that I was the owner of the club, you could buy me a drink. Like, stop staring and do something. Anyway. Phoebe's like, oh, he's not staring. It's not creepy. It's flirting. Get with the times, you old fogey. Piper is not having it. She is my man, my man, my man. Ugh. And then we see Prue, who comes in. This is why I know this episode was weird, because she was not, that dress she had on was not it. And I was like, oh.
It didn't fit her curves. As well as other dresses have. If wardrobe
is off, that means the episode is going to be off. But anyway, she comes in. She's like, Piper, where your DJ at? I got the song stuck in my head, and I'm just trying to get it out. They try to ask her to sing it. She's like, I'm not. Y'all will not have me singing in this club. Absolutely not. Not after last time. We're not. At somebody else. But she still wants to get the song out of her head. So she hums it. Phoebe and Piper can't figure it out. And what's next? Because it's all a blur at that point. Justin, who we met in last episode, him and Prue are still like, they're still calling. It's still very cute. It's definitely call me after 9 so we can really talk all 9.
You think she's like in bed and she's like, no, you hang up. No, you hang up.
Definitely not. They're still playing this point system because I feel that like that's where they like bonded over both having like their Joan Clayton list of rules, and they're like, well, if a man hangs up on a woman, then I deduct the point. And he's just like, well, if a woman doesn't know when to end a conversation, I deduct the point. Oh my God. Yeah, it's one of those. It's gross.
That's very gross. Oh, Essentia, you got money. Oh, look at you.
Anyway, you know, I'm a podcaster now. I've got to drink the podcaster's water. Anyway, so they're like trying to beat Prue over the head on like going to this barbecue. It's a family reunion. And like, yes, I've known Justin since high school, but he hasn't been an active member in my life since high school. So it's kind of weird that you're inviting me to your family reunion. And you're like, you just don't like families because ours is shit, because our grandmother kept marrying men after man after man. Mom, you know, she bit the dust a little earlier than we would like. Our dad also abandoned us. We don't really have really good, like, familial bonds. So you don't really like to see other people with good familial bonds because it'll hurt your feelings. And she's like, I'm not that serious. Me and him just started talking. I don't need to meet your grandma. I don't want the recipe to your grandma's peace cobbler. Or whatever that means.
Miss Ma'am, you have lost your mind. You just kept getting more and more unhinged. While all this is happening, there's an ice cream truck that is being really, it's a pedo ice cream truck. That's the first thing I thought. Like, what kind of pedo ass ice cream truck is this? And it's playing the same tune that our girl was humming earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really late at night. And the first thing I thought was like, where's this little boy's parents? Why is Jimmy walking around the streets with no parents? And when Jimmy gets up to the ice cream truck, the man in the truck offers him some ice cream. And then this wind pulls the boy into the truck.
No,
and I was like,
yeah. No, he was like, do you want some ice cream? And he was like, yeah. And then the guy in the truck was like, you didn't say please. And pulled him in. Him. And it was like, oh, you are in. This is a bad man. A bad, bad man.
I was like, next. Investigation tonight. Tell me that's not some unsolved mystery shit.
Oh, it definitely is. It's, oh. And it's like, okay, you're laying the plot that, like, this man is nefarious. He's a bad guy. We should be on the lookout for the creepy man in a van. And aren't we always on the lookout for the creepy man in a van?
Dude, we went to the North Carolina Zoo on Saturday, right? And on the route to North Carolina Zoo, it was this like broken down house. And it had like mad, I wouldn't say garbage, but like scrap metal and broken down cars in the front, and it had a sign and it said beagle puppies for free. I was like, oh,
nope, definitely not. I would have been like, beagles? No, I don't want that loud ass dog in my house. Absolutely not.
I was like, what kind of pet owner is this? I was showing Bella, he was like, what? Really, it's going to be on next 48 watch.
No, absolutely not. Never a beagle. I remember when I was working at the shelter doing like the events, and I would come up with pamphlets for every dog that we had, what I had available for adoption. And if you lived in an apartment, I was like, no beagle for you. Absolutely not.
Hold on. The only thing you took from that story was that you didn't want beagles. So what you're saying, if it was another dog, your ass would have been snatched out. Because the only thing you took from that story was, yes, I don't like beagles.
Absolutely. Like, I don't... Was there anything else to take from that story?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I'm confused.
Clearly. Going back into Charm. So Prue is having hot, like, night sweats. This child is, her whole face was, like, wet to the point where you can see, like, they had it, like, and this is how you know we watching 4K now. Like you could see her mustache.
You know what? When you sweat and sometimes it just makes things glisten. We can't always fault her. Okay.
It was glistening. It was glistening. And she was having this very fitful dream about being a child in a snow covered playground. And it took me a while to realize that it was proof. I was like, who's this girl? And I was like, oh wait, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, oh, she got premonition powers like BB.
You're so annoying.
And she's screaming for help. And her dad ends up rescuing her. And then her alarm clock goes off. And I was like, damn. Was she like, was it a nightmare because she was being rescued? Or was it a nightmare because she was asking for her daddy? Like,
both. So she, like, we see her start her day. She grabs the paper from outside. Mm-hmm. And she hears a song in the distance. And she's like, what is going on? And I feel like at that point, you kind of have to, like, put two and two together that it's, like, the ice cream man. But, because if you're hearing it outside, like, that's the only thing I'm going to think of good humor if I hear, like, the jingle outside. But it's also 7, 8 a.m. So why is why is good humor outside?
And what kind of, like, creepy ass song is that? Like, why is it such a
I mean, the real song ain't any better.
I mean, the real song is racist, but at least, you know, it got a little peppy beats.
I can excuse racism.
But pedos, I mean, if we're going to excuse one or the other, right? Like, I think in this situation, if we're talking about an ice cream truck, I'm going to go with the one that doesn't sound like it's trying to take my children. Like, that's the one I'm going to go with.
Anyway, so she goes back into the kitchen. Phoebe is, and I actually took a picture of this. I was like, what are you looking up? Because there's absolutely no way, like, you're Ask Jeevesing or Binging or Yahooing or whatever the equivalent to Google is now. But you're definitely not doing that. And what she has is just, like, a note it's an email. And it, subject, Cole Turner. Current occupation, assistant district attorney. Birth, 1885. Father, Benjamin, state assemblyman. Mother, Elizabeth. Demon, and in open parentheses and in closed parentheses, still alive? ! Exclamation point. Alter ego, Balthazar. Demonic soldier of fortune. and it's just like, known powers, the ability to, oh, it got cut off. But anyway, these are all things that are in the Book of Shadow. The only thing that's not in the Book of Shadows is this little point that says, evil allies, the triad, they don't exist anymore because he killed them. Andras, the spirit of rage, Troxa, the invisible demon, and that's so bad that he got reduced to the invisible demon. Okay. And Venceris, lesser demon.
I feel like she just, like, took everything from the Book of Shadows and then put it on a piece of paper. Like,
no, she literally has this in, like, a file on the computer.
That's what I'm saying. Like, all right, okay, PB. And I mean, she's longing for her love. I'm annoyed now. This man needs to pop up.
This is her hiding it because she can't be in the attic staring at the Book of Shadows any longer because Prue and Piper would be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious.
Why? Why are you still holding on to him? Why do you still care? He gone and he ain't ever coming back. So she's just staring at her notes file.
They ain't take no pictures together, no nothing. Like, this is, it's pitiful.
Not this time, but the second time around, they definitely did. They definitely, the second time around, have an Andy Prue type picture. And it's so, so annoying because she's like in a poncho with a matching beanie, like pawing at him. It's like, gross. Get out of here.
So while Prue is getting ready, I guess instant messages back in those days.
Yeah.
I guess so, right? From an old friend pops up. And Prue was like, what's going on? What's that? What you doing? And she was so, oh my God, Phoebe.
She quickly closes the laptop and is just like, nothing. Prue calls her on her bullshit and is like, nothing normally means a boy, so spill. And
which I think is really sweet. Cause
yeah,
last season this window went down that way.
And before Phoebe could come up with a lie, Piper comes in and is like, I got something that's more bizarre than whatever you're talking about. Because that's the normal way. Like, I'm being extremely nitpicky because she enters in like, I got something that's more bizarre. Well, and the sisters do make fun of her, but yeah, it's more
bizarre. But it's weird because I'm sitting here thinking, okay, she's going to talk about a demon and she talks about the fact that her dad, or they dad, is in town and has been seen by one of their friends.
But this is a friend that hasn't seen their father since whoever was in the first grade. So I'm assuming Piper? Yeah, it would have to be Piper. So,
it's just, I mean, it's how you know your father's a piece of shit.
It's the first time in a year since we've seen him. So, or we've known that he would be in town, so it's weird.
She just sent some flowers like, hey, girls, I know we got off, we ended on a bad foot last time I was here. I am around if you would like, be a good parent. What the fuck?
I would say Shannon, Prue doesn't care at all.
She don't give a shit. Piper, though, got daddy issues. Piper got severe daddy issues.
Oh, my God. And we see it on display. Like, you thought Phoebe's daddy issues were bad?
Do you think that's why she's with Leo?
So, pausing really quickly. I was on the live Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the Ratchetron one on TikTok. And we were just talking about how Phoebe's abandonment issues and her daddy issues led her to Cole. But yeah, there's also some Piper in there. There are two sides of the same coin. It's just Phoebe's Phoebe-ness covers up a lot of, like, that my man-ness that Piper has about Leo.
Yeah. And I feel like if Prue lasted a little bit longer, it would have been fully fleshed out. But yeah, I mean, I think you have a point where all of these girls, and not just abandonment, right? But like they're basically orphans. Like they whole line has been wiped the fuck out. And then daddy over here just being weird as shit.
Yeah.
It's okay, dad. Thanks.
So Piper was like being super, super nice and like, hey, can I walk you out? Ooh, sweet, sweet, sweet. And Phoebe reopens her laptop to continue talking.
It's Phoebe. Even when she doesn't have to have secrets, she still has them. And this is why she will always be attracted to the dark side.
I feel that, like, I understand the secret, considering, I understand the secret. I won't give her too much grief because you can't tell Piper without her telling Prue. And yeah, I mean, I feel like she's really good at keeping secrets until the plot calls for it, because we had no idea.
Right.
We had absolutely no idea that this was a thing.
So Piper wants Prue to go with her to go see her dad, but Prue don't really want to go. And so obviously she's the excuse that she has a photo shoot on Nob Hill. Because let's be honest, if Prue really wanted to do something, it'd have been fuck that photo shoot.
As we see later on.
Right. So Prue's in the elevator. Now she hears a little girl humming the tune. She still can't get it out of her head. The elevator stops, but the little girl gets out of the elevator before Prue can ask her what the tune is. And then now we see Piper at the Bay Tech building.
Mm-hmm. The original WeWork building.
She looks like, or she is reminiscent of, a woman knows her man is she in and is trying to catch him.
Yeah, like she's at the hotel. My husband has a reservation here. I just don't remember the room number. Can you let me know what room he's in? But instead of that, she's like, hey, my dad works in this building. Can you just let me know what office he's in? And this poor, and like, before she even asks that question, she rambles on like, oh, everybody's on lunch and you have to work at your desk, blah, 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 blah. And the girl was like, I don't get paid enough to deal with you. You fake nice.
Like, she's like, stop trying to schmooze me and just tell me what you want. Like, I hate that.
Right. So, she's like, my dad, Victor Bennett, works here. Can you let me know what office he's in? And while she's like, she's definitely hopefully scanning the lobby, hoping to catch a glance of her dad. And she sees somebody, and by the build, that don't look like your daddy. From the side profile, from no kind of profile, doesn't look like any kind of Victor Bennett. Not the she old said
it was
one,
a white man
one.
With gray hair. It had to be her daddy.
And your daddy was more like he had more brown than gray. So I don't know. Long story short, she harasses this poor man and he takes it nicely. It's like, leave me alone, lady. And then the other lady, the receptionist, tells her that there's no Victor Bennett that works here. Get out my face, get out my building before I call security. Harassing people in the damn lobby. What's wrong with you?
I mean, she ain't go that far.
But you know, she wanted to in her head. In her head,
she was like, I don't get paid enough for these crazy folks. So now, what, Prue is on lunch?
Well, yeah, Prue and Phoebe are on lunch. And Phoebe's trying to talk to her about her obvious daddy issues. And Prue is dodging every one of her questions. She just... leave me alone. There's no bigger story. There's nothing. There's no deep wound other than I just don't want to go. It has nothing to do with my daddy issues or a lack thereof. Leave me alone. And as they're talking, she gets distracted by a girl who is this little girl who's humming the song and who's finally happy. She's like, I can get my answers to what song this is. She asks the girl. The girl doesn't respond. She just very creepily just points to the upcoming ice cream truck that's like coming down the street. Phoebe is ecstatic. Like, finally, you mystery solved. Now I can go back to like psychoanalyzing you.
Right.
Prue is unable to let it go because it's winter. Why is there ice cream? Where's her mother? What's going on? And instead of paying attention to Phoebe, she continues to go. And even though she is saying these things out loud, Phoebe is confused as to why all those things together is weird. Like, where her mom at? That's like the barest of minimums. But you never had a mother, so how would you know? See, I caught myself. And I, see, that's just how it's either going to be your rant or it's going to be a depressing hard stop anyway. They follow the truck as the truck then pulls into an alley, which is an obvious sign that this is a raper van.
Right. Why do you have ice cream in front of everybody? Like the ice, like.
And he doesn't even like park the truck properly. He puts it on like a catacorner. It's just, this is weird. He strives to pull the girl in. Right as the charm ones pull up, they pull her out, and there he comes out of his van like, oh, so there's three of you guys. I won't use my muscle at all. I'll just use this like off screen vacuum that sucks you guys into my van. and they disappear into the back of the van.
Yeah.
Is this annoying-ass Caleb time?
Not yet. Okay. So, after they get sucked into the van, they end up in this snow-covered playground that is very reminiscent of what Prue was fitfully dreaming about earlier in the episode. And then the ice cream man asks them who they are, and then they run away. And then that's when they run into the little boy, Ari.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, letting them know about the nothing, and the nothing is going to take them, and you have to get away before they get pulled into the nothing. And then that's when that little girl, they go to a hiding place, and the little girl runs out of the hiding place, and the nothing gets her. And they're like, oh my God! And I was like, damn, girl, you should have just stayed in the hiding place.
What is that Jordan Peele movie that just came out?
Nope.
Nope. Yes. This is literally the plot of Nope, just with scary children.
I have never seen a Jordan Peele movie.
Okay, moving on before we get canceled. So, as
I've seen pieces of Get Out, but I haven't seen the whole thing. And y'all be ruining it for me on Twitter. So there's no need, like, y'all be doing whole papers and essays and theses on it. I don't have to watch it. I just wait for one of y'all to watch it, and by Sunday, I'll know the entire plot. It's good.
Or back in the day, a BuzzFeed listicle.
Does anybody even watch, read BuzzFeed anymore? Goodness. Anyway.
They still have their fingers in things. They're just not as, like, BuzzFeed-y about it. where are we?
So back at P3. And Piper is freaking out because she can't find Prue or Phoebe. I guess they were supposed to show up. They haven't. She's freaking out, and then that's when Caleb.
Well, at this point, yeah, she said she called Phoebe, she called Prue, she called the magazine, and they hadn't heard from her since lunch. So please call me back. And at that point, why weren't you just calling Leo? But I think she was calling Leo, and he was just ignoring her.
Yeah, because later he was like, "Bitch, why you calling me while I'm at work?"
But I feel that like we'll get there when we get there. So Caleb is just being mad creepy, and like, I just want to be done with him. I don't want to talk about him any more than I have to. So we're just going to wrap him up really quickly right now. So Caleb is being super weird and suspicious, just asking the weirdest questions. So do you and your sisters hang out? Like, do you guys do things together? Are y'all special sisters? Like, you're so... I understand his whole point of not wanting to expose magic or wanting to come up sounding like a crazy person.
But there's been other ways that people have done it. And again, this is a fault on the uppers. Like, if you knew that this was this man's end game, what?
Matter of fact, I was going to get to that point when we get to that point. But yeah, like, if you knew that he was a new ice cream man, why wouldn't you tell Leo, like, hey, this is a new ice cream man, so they can prepare themselves? But that's neither here nor there. Even if you didn't want to expose magic, everybody knows them as the charmed ones. So wouldn't you just say something along the lines of, are you and your sister charmed?
They didn't set this man up. He will not be ice cream man for long. Piper rejects him, was like, get out of my face, you stupid bitch. I don't know who you are. Get out of my face. Bye.
And then goes right back to calling her sisters.
Right. She was like, can't you see this is the wrong time? Like, you keep popping up during the wrong time. Which I felt that. So we're back in the playground, and Ari is telling Prue and Phoebe that they have gotten pulled into the truck. And since they've been pulled into the truck, they've been on the run from nothing. And they're like walking through the playground, and Phoebe puts her hand on one of the playground toys. And she gets a vision of Prue's experience in the ice cream truck. Clearly, Prue has been here before, and she was rescued by their dad. We go back into P3, and Piper calls for Leo. And then this is where Leo kind of pissed me off, because I don't give a fuck about none of your charges.
In the manor.
Are we in the manor? How do we get to the manor so quickly?
Because she didn't stay at work when she couldn't find her sisters.
I mean, that makes sense. Well, Leo shows up, and Leo got a little attitude, a little stink-ass attitude, talking about, you can't be calling me while I'm at work. Like,
honestly, you're not wrong at all, but I feel like Piper would be the type of girl, she would, like, if Leo, or as the Ratchet Charm woman would call him, Lily, if Lily was an Uber driver, Piper would be in the front seat being like, I guess we're both driving Uber today.
I'm looking at the time, so I don't want to go on a rant, but if he was an Uber driver, he'd be making money. So there's that.
Yeah, he definitely got no snacks in the car. He definitely got a roll down window.
He got the plastic shower cut in the back.
The fake COVID plastic. You never get into your destination. You can like. You got in the car at 11:52. You got to your destination at 1:00, but you have no idea where that time went because Piper done froze your ass and her and Leo are arguing.
I just, like, for him to like slide up in my house where I pay the bills at, I am like, it don't matter about none of your charges. First of all, like, it don't matter because I am a charmed one. How dare you, annoying. You raggedy bitch. I understand that, but I'm always going to stick up for my girl Piper. How dare you? And then when she's explaining to him the situation, he didn't want to do nothing. And she was like, well, can you just, like, do your supernatural scan to just make sure my sister's like, you are a white lighter for the charmed ones, not just for your girl, but for the charmed ones. And I got to argue with you about doing it. Man, so after all that happens, we find out that this white lighter cannot sense Prue nor her sister.
Nor her sister.
They cannot be found.
Don't even have a name no more.
It's PB, but I'm just saying, like, you couldn't. You went through all of that to be wrong, right? Like, all of that to be wrong.
I want to, like, fast track this episode so quickly.
Fast track it.
So, spoiler alert. The elders told this man, yo, you wildin'. Why would you bring these two people in the fucking van? Are you out of your mind? This episode is full of men who don't know how to do anything. Because you can lead them to the exit of the ice cream truck without being so weird and awkward about it, especially if they told you from jump to let them go. This episode is full of plot holes.
And he was still being like super weird. The ice cream man being really weird. He was skulking. So we're going to just super fast track this. So the girls end up getting these kids out. Even though the ice cream man didn't want that to happen, they find out that if you go up the slide is the portal to be outside, and that's how the girls get all these kids out. Yeah. However,
wow,
the pedo guy.
You gotta put a fucking headphone alert.
Sorry. The pedo guy is not really a pedo guy and he's not a bad person. It is, see, that's why you don't listen to children, because children will always set you on the wrong path. Like, come on.
I know you don't want to hear this, so I will phrase it this way. On the hit Tracy Ellis Ross comedy, Black-ish, there was an episode where her unnamed husband went to work and saw a little white girl in the elevator by herself. And he immediately got off the elevator. And
that is one of my favorite episodes, I have to admit. When I say it was so hard to separate the man from the character. Oh my gosh. But yes, exactly, that's very reminiscent.
Like, you never know what happened. So that's exactly what I thought about while this episode was going down. So JK, the kids are the bad guys. Vess, aka Ari, uses his powers to pretty much murder or maim the ice cream man, whatever comes first.
But not really, the ice cream man that they should have murdered, just a random ice cream truck driver.
No, we didn't get, we're fast tracking it. Because Phoebe and Prue get home, they explain, like, so Eric could be so confused because we're like fast tracking it, but also picking up at the weirdest spots. I feel like Loki and I'm time slipping. Anyway, they realize they fucked up. They go back to the manor. They're like, hey, we fucked up. Figure it out. Which is weird. This is okay. This doesn't make any sense. If the powers that be told the ice cream man, y'all fucked up, let the charm ones out, why wouldn't the powers that be then let the elders know to let Leo know so they can start figuring this out by the time the charm ones get back to the house? You see how this don't make no sense? If you pick one little part, everything falls apart. Anyway, they try to track down, we're missing a part. Phoebe tells them about the premonition she had. They're like, fuck it, we're gonna call Dad. P3 is a neutral zone because Prue don't want him in her home.
So just to back up really quickly, the reason why they have to call Dad is because only a mortal can open up the ice cream truck, which does not make any sense. But the ice cream truck man can only be a mortal, and a mortal is the only person who can open up the ice cream truck.
It does make sense, because, like, if the nothing doesn't discriminate between good or evil, just blocking out magic should make sense altogether.
But that doesn't make sense, because look what happens to the ice cream man later on in the episode.
Look, man, I'm just saying, if
it don't make zero sense.
Whatever.
Why is the ice cream man, why does he have to be mortal? What is the background of the ice cream man? How do you get, like, none of this was explained.
What,
how
is
do you
the get chosen? Of the seven sun? We don't know these things, okay? Absolutely not.
So after they finally decide that P3 is going to be a neutral ground, we find out that one of the demons likes to kill, he's just killing ice cream man people just because he wants to kill ice cream man people. And Vest is like, you dumb bitch, do you see a portal inside of this ice cream truck? No, because you're a dumb bitch, and can you stop, because we have a mission to kill the ice cream man, and the right one, so just pay attention, you dumb bitch. And I was like, damn.
Somebody now, on Twitter, teenagers are mean. That in an alternate universe, those are Phoebe's kids. And Vess is definitely her kid with Cole. Because that child, that demon spawn, definitely was like, I already maimed the ice cream man. So who are you killing? He's already been taken care of. And there's no portal back here. So you just over here leaving there's dead bodies all over the place for people to fucking track. What's wrong with you? Let's destroy the truck so we don't have to worry about it, and then we can kill as many humans as we want. And if that is not a Halliwell Turner child, I don't know what is.
You're talking about that baby that didn't survive in her womb? Is that what you're saying?
On topic, but off topic, the last episode of 6 Feet Under I watched, one of the main characters was being confronted with all of the aborted children he made girls get. And, the cemetery.
Okay. So we're in P3. Caleb arrives again. Piper's like, bitch, why the fuck you keep showing up? And then Leo shows up, and then Leo's like, Caleb, you have a phone call. That's not weird to nobody. That's not weird.
Maybe this was the land of this is still the land of beepers. People still have beepers.
But she said a phone call. He didn't say, call me, beep me if you want to reach me. Go ahead.
We realize what happened. So it's always been very vague why Victor left. And I don't know if that is because they didn't know what if they wanted him to be a good guy, because he definitely wasn't a good guy in Thank You for Not Morphing. But he seems to be a good guy now.
This was a dumb reason. This was a dumb ass reason.
Prue had the flu or some childhood disease. Who knows? Because they always sick for some reason. Because
she probably went to daycare.
Anyway, instead of being in a child's place and being like, Papa, Father, I'm thirsty, she leaves her bed and hears the ice cream truck outside. And then she opens the door and sees a child, because back in the 70s, you dead ass could just snatch a child from the middle of the street. None of that alleyway parking for your hide. So instead of like calling her dad or screaming, Prue herself runs to try to save the kid. As Prue is getting sucked into the truck again, her dad like saves her, and Grams comes home and is just like, oh, you whack ass mortal. You can't even protect your own kids. You're horrible. Either be useful and get a Glock or get the fuck out of this house. And he got out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you made a mistake. You let Grams bully you to never see, like, to barely see your child. Like, you were looking for a reason to be a deadbeat dad. That is wild to me. You are looking for a reason to be a deadbeat dad. Like, get a Glock, figure out a protection spell with Grams, make it work. But you were looking, because even as adults, you're still a deadbeat dad, bitch. Like, fuck out. I'm not taking that. You know what? And that's how I know a man wrote this, because a man wrote that
There's
and was like,
two
mm-hmm,
men who wrote this up
that's a good reason to not be a dad. That's a good reason to not be in these girls' lives. And we took that.
Have you not seen the auntie TikToks where they're like, oh, I'm the auntie on the dad side of the family, and I miss my little nephew, I miss my little niece, and I can't see my niece or my nephew because his daddy a piece of shit, but I miss him, and you knew he was a piece of shit too before you had a baby by him. Now why can't see the baby?
I'm not. I was on Jack Harlow TikTok for a little bit, and then this one, the black girl was like, these are babies, and I was like, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Jay's but, Back Boy look alike. I just want to see you with a knife. I just want to see something with a knife.
The fact that that man is 22 and he looks older than I am, that's all I gotta
that
say.
Means- that somewhere in the lineage ain't clean, all right? But
not somewhere in the lineage he held slaves. What is wrong with you?
What you talking about? What's wrong with me? That's yo. I am tired of me spitting facts and y'all being like, oh,
it has nothing to do with you spitting facts. It's just that it be coming from nowhere. All of a sudden was that he aged like milk to like barely be able to drink, and you look like that. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I mean, is there not a common joke in the Black community that the whites age worse when there's racism within? That's all I was saying. That is all I was equating this
you
to.
You said something in the lineage ain't clean, which means he probably got some curse because his ancestors were horrible. I was even more disgusted with myself because, like, not only to, like, thirst after a youngin, but a youngin that looked older than me, I was disgusted with myself. Like, sir, drink some Bloom or something in the Daily Harvest.
It's like DC Young Fly and Monique in that Christmas movie. And I understand. Sometimes you gotta be a cougar, you know? What you gonna do? Movie. Deal with Greg's old shrinking balls on Married to Medicine? Or the 22-year-old James McAvoy lookalike? Which one you want?
Neither.
You don't want to be in a support group for other women dating older men?
No. Especially after Phaedra was like, oh no, they balls drop like titties. I'm good. I'm okay.
Oh God. So.
And his voice sound like if I'm dating a grandpa, he better look like Santa Claus or something like that. Like, ho, ho, ho. Here's some money with the ho, ho, ho. Not ho, ho, ho. I'm good. Like.
Oh God. Anyway, getting back to this episode.
The Hallowells go looking for the truck.
The truck has been impounded. Phoebe and Piper go one way to follow the demons to figure out what they're doing. Prue and her father figure out to get to the truck and do that. Because, you know, Prue is the strongest and you're an immortal. Might as well take your strongest man with you. They get back in the truck. The ice cream man is like, yo, my bad. As soon as I caught y'all, they were like, throw that fish back out. It's an egger. Sorry. I'm also on lobster fisherman talk. So.
The amount of editing that I am going to have to do.
I said egger.
That's not what it sounded like. That is not what it sounded like.
That's exactly what I said. And
I figured that now that you would have to edit, you would behave yourself.
And I was behaving myself by saying egger. I'm going to duet this video with the video of that man really living through this because he said the same thing and everybody in his comments like, what did you say? And look at you attacking me. It's unfair. Anyway, the man sacrifices himself before he sacrifices himself. He gives them a part to restart the ice cream truck. Then nothing gets him. Piper and Phoebe are like on their way to the truck to like. And you can tell I'm getting so over this episode because the use of the word like is coming out a lot. Phoebe and Piper try to fight the demons or play offense. You know, a good defense is a strong offense type shit. Either way.
Piper gets knocked the fuck out. I feel like this season starts Piper getting knocked the fuck out every other episode.
There's so many things happening. My chair is actively sinking. The Essentia bottle popped. You screaming at Piper. I'm just like, I can't take it. Anyway.
It's too much.
Phoebe pulls her body to the side. Prue and Dak come out the truck. Prue plays offense, you swatting these kids away, and he's just like, I know I can fix this, because after spending so much time working on your mom's car, I know I have an idea what to do with this. And even though he has an idea what to do with it, he, like, stares at it as, like, maybe I don't know what to do with this. Prue saves him from Vest, aka Ari, because he was about to attack Dad. So that is proved, you know, evening the score. Because in our haste to go through this episode, we missed the point where when Dad and Prue were in the ice cream supernova, dead space, whatever it's called. Prue almost gets sucked up by the nothing on during their escape. And Dad says, I'll never let you go, Prue. You my daughter. I love you. Roof, roof. You know, all that good shit. So, feelings. He gets the truck starting up again. It starts playing the song. The demon children get sucked into the van. Right, and as that's happening, Leo and creepy ass Caleb show up, and he's like, "Oh, yay, man! You guys fixed my van, woohoo!" And she's like, "Oh, so you didn't want to fuck? You just wanted some magic? Oh, why didn't you say so?" And he comes up with the line of being like, "Well, I can't just say, hey, happy." Seen my mystical demon child catching van, because that sounds crazy.
Yes, yes, because they are the charmed one. You clearly knew where the fuck to go. You clearly knew.
Don't they have some like 411
Wikipedia? I don't know.
Like,
this is why before the charmed ones, the triad was knocking out these bitches left and right, because this is just confusion. This is confusion and a mess.
In the same department. Y'all know how... This just reminds me of how serial killers that operate within New York get away with so much
shit. I'm mad you said that the uppers are the NYPD. And on that note...
No, because back in the day, precincts never used to talk to each other. Bronx wouldn't talk to Brooklyn. Brooklyn wouldn't talk to Queens. Manhattan wouldn't talk to, like, Staten. And, like, if you did something in Brooklyn and you went to Manhattan, you were fine. And that's what
I mean, that's every police department.
You know, I was really... Because, you know, Eric Adams is in the news. You know, FBI raiding his stuff. I was trying to keep it... local.
Every time something happens with Eric Adams, I send it to Phoebe, and I'd be like, Phoebe, is this your mayor? Embarrassing.
Anyway, so, like, there is absolutely no way that the powers that be let the ice cream man know that he fucked up and didn't let the elders know where their most powerful witches were. Like, it just doesn't make sense. But if you think about how law enforcement works in the United States, then you're like, it does make sense.
I mean,
sense.
I think, too, like, when we start to see the elders later on, it all makes sense. Like, are you shocked and surprised that it's a bungling mess? No. Not at all.
And, like, why are you... I'm like, I'm anticipating that over on YouTube. I'm just, like, anticipating people in the comments being... people in the comments, and I'm just like, why are you booing me? I'm right. And just linking a video of, like,
I mean, it's true though. It
is like, law enforcement does not talk to each other.
We watched some episode where the girl was murdered, and it passed through same department, passed through like three different cold case hands. It's the one where the cop killed her ex-lover's wife.
Yeah.
And it took them like 30 years to solve the case. Like, that's... Yeah.
It's like, so, yeah, they don't talk to each other, so of course, like...
That's it. I don't know, I just felt like the demon kids trope was weird. Caleb being... Which means that he had to have known that the new guy or the current guy was going to die soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's very reminiscent of a season one episode.
Yeah, this is very, it's feeling very Seventh Son of the Seventh Son. And I wish we could have, like, and honestly, this episode is wrapped. Who gives a shit? I wish we could have. I'm going right into like tweaks we would have made.
Oh, see, I've already done that. See, I was with you. I was with you.
I'm stating it obviously. I would have fleshed out more why Prue heard this song because
right.
Why she can still hear the song, I should say, because yes, she heard this as a kid.
She's not a demon.
I know, I understand that, but she heard it as a kid. And you know what they say about kids and, you know, their special hearing and their special eyes. But because she had that inner, like, go that route, because she is actually, like, almost kidnapped, she'd been marked by the van or whatever.
Do something. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't, none of it makes any sense. It doesn't.
Do something that with
don't
that.
Make no sense. The ice cream man don't make any sense. The fact that this man found a reason, the most pitiful reason, to go get milk and never come back, like, get out of my face. I'd rather they have stuck with the con artist versus a man who was like, Grams hurt my feelings and I can't do this anymore. Fuck out of here.
I mean, is that any different to what's going on today? Oh. Random man in Atlanta?
All I'm saying is I'm not supposed, I just can't, I can't have respect for this man. Just, it's boring.
We have to like it because the girl swallowed it and he obviously becomes a fixture throughout the rest of the series. Because
I have to like shit. You can't tell me. You can't tell me what I have to okay, and that is clear by all season 2. You ranted about bum ass Leo.
Here I am finding a place of zen, and you keep wanting to bring me back.
Cause you're not going to tell me that I have to like this man when I had to listen to you rant for 22
episodes. He's pulling me back. To... Yo, I will start singing Chiggy on this podcast. So start with me.
You look if at... you were my baby.
You lucky I can't afford to play Chiggy off my phone right now.
If you were my lady.
Anyway, yeah, this episode was so wonky. Like, is it as bad as Feats of Clay and fuck. The Seventh Son of the Seventh Son.
You like, the Seventh Son of the Seventh Son.
You know why? Because during the live, the episode came up. First of all, the Ratchet Charm one, love him up, love him down. Me and him was just taking turns ripping Leo to shreds. Just like, this man sucks. And here are the many reasons why he sucks. And he be having reasons. And like, you know what? This reminds me of episode 2, season 4. Where he said this dumb shit. Yeah, I know. We never see it.
That old black magic.
Yeah. Man. Oh.
You know what? It's up. Like I said before, it's very reminiscent, which is why we have brought back a very chaotic style of podcast. Because it was, I was watching this like, oh God, now I gotta like report on this. Like I have to sit down and talk about it because it was.
Yeah, I'm horrible. Gonna be so honest. I watched this episode 3 times and I keep having to ask you to like pull me back in. Like, I don't know where we're at. And like,
it's so bad.
Unlike with like Coyote Piper, I only watched that twice.
And you enjoyed Coyote Piper.
I did. I kept finding things to do during this episode. Like, my old dishes definitely do need washing. Like,
oh damn.
You know what? I should clean my stove right about now. All right, let's do. Like, I just kept getting. It wasn't.
I sighed a deep breath when it was over. So I feel you.
Ooh, but next week.
Is
an episode.
Is my baby
with
boy.
Natalie. Sorry.
Natalie.
Yeah. Isn't that
Natalie?
Yeah, it's the episode where Leo gets yelled at by his coworker.
Oh, I was thinking because Steve Valentine was in it. Nigel Townsend from Crossing Jordan.
Yeah. I was like, oh, man. Like, this is a. Like, last week we had Rainn Wilson. And it was just like, no, you're not the. It don't. you don't hit the way a demon hits. He hits like the way a demon hits so well.
Yes.
And yes. The fact that you just see him later on Crossing Jordan with the same...
I love Crossing Jordan.
With the same fuck-ass bob and more jewelry. Oh, I can't wait!
So I was looking him up when you were talking. Mm-hmm. And this man is still fine. Oh my goodness.
Like,
how is this man still... fine. And he has really nice teeth. Like, I don't know if they were done, but they're not like chiclet teeth, but now, he has very nice teeth.
I feel like people who get their teeth done, it's like the size may come in, like, they may offer different sizes, but the shade, they only have one shade. They only have one shade, and it's chiclet.
I want you to rate this episode. You are wild.
It don't matter. The gum to teeth ratio, they always go be chicks.
So do you think, you know, we're going to take this offline because
a girdle is, I wish.
Telling you, 2 out of 2, they have made this girl cry and I'm disgusted.
And like I said, offline, if you really felt some way about Quad, don't hold your engagement party in Quad's house. Rent a fucking hall. It's Atlanta, you whack-ass fucking bitch. There's always a hall! Anyway, I rate this episode 3 out of 10 fuck-ass bobs, because I can't wait for this fuck-ass bob for next week.
I am going to rate this episode 1 melted ice cream cone.
You know what? I like the Victor that we get. I like that they changed his name from Victor Halliwell to Victor Bennett. I like the improvement, which is what the 1.5 point comes in. I guess
I don't think it's an improvement. I'd rather the con artists versus the man who was like, taking care of my daughter is too much. Oh my God, Graham's yelled at me. Like, I come here for fantasy, okay? Not for real life TikTok bullshit, okay? I don't need true drama.
The other 0.5 point comes from just like, I'm not gonna lie, the little kids were terrifying, especially Vest. But like, they're also children, so fun. Like, the kids were fun.
Having a child in middle school, them kids just need ass whippings. That's all.
That's what it is. You a mama, so you couldn't take this episode as lightly as I could. 3 terrorizing children. 1 with a sweater vest, 2 with pigtails, and 1 who just loves ice cream. All right, whatever. I guess. Woo. Get out of here. But yeah, that's it. That's the show. Some witches be hoes. Bless it be.